All right, so you're with us again for another deep dive, and this time we're going to get into something that's like super fundamental to what it means to be a Christian. We're talking union with Christ, especially how the Apostle Paul uses it in his letters.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got this lecture, right, that really gets into the nitty-gritty of it in 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, some really meaty stuff.
Yeah, you know how you hear that phrase, in Christ, like all the time, and it almost becomes, well, kind of just a thing you hear. But when you actually like stop and really dig into what Paul meant by it, it's like this whole other level of understanding opens up about following Jesus, right? It affects everything about how we live and how we understand God.
Absolutely. And our guide for today is Dr. Robert A. Peterson. This lecture is actually part of a series he did on the Holy Spirit and union with Christ.
So we're focusing specifically on his analysis of 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians.
Right, those three. So our mission, if you will, for this deep dive is to kind of pull out the most important stuff about what it means to be in Christ, according to Paul, you know, in these letters.
No.
We want to give you a clearer, more nuanced grasp of this doctrine because it is a big one.
It is.
So let's just jump right in, all right? And we'll start with 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul starts talking about this, well, this man in Christ.
Mm.
And this guy, he had some, like, seriously intense, almost impossible to describe experiences, visions, revelations.
So right away, like Peterson points out, it's interesting, you know, by the time Paul's writing 2 Corinthians, the phrase in Christ wasn't some new hot off the press thing. It had already become a pretty common way to say, you know, this person's a Christian.
Like a label, almost.
Yeah, almost like saying this person, they're part of the Christian community.
Right, an identifier. And Paul, well, he doesn't tell us a lot about what exactly this guy saw, but many people think he was actually talking about himself, you know.
Yeah, could be.
But the point is, even without knowing the details, the fact that Paul uses this already established phrase, in Christ, is important, right?
Yeah.
It tells us, you know, how central this idea was. Like, it was already a core concept for the early church.
Exactly. Like a given. Okay, so let's move on to Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 through 21. This is where Paul gets into the whole justification thing, and we see this really powerful idea of being co-crucified with Christ.
Yeah, this is where he, like, hammers home the gospel message. He says it a few different ways, but the heart of it is always, we're made right with God, not by following rules and regulations, but through faith in Jesus Christ.
And it's right in the middle of this whole context of being justified in Christ by faith that he drops this like bombshell statement. Verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Okay, so this is where it gets really, really important. And Peterson helps us see that Paul isn't just talking about like something that happened to Jesus way back when, right?
Yeah.
He's talking about this deep spiritual union where believers, through their faith, are joined with Christ in his death.
Like it united with him.
Yeah, it's almost like that old self, the person we were before Christ, dies with him on the cross.
And the thing is, Christ's resurrection, right, it ushered in this whole new reality, this new era. And so now, believers, we share in that new resurrected life, eternal life. And notice how it connects directly. Because we're united with him in his death and resurrection, Christ himself is now living in believers.
He's saying, I've got Christ in me.
Right. Like experiencing the presence of Christ. And there's this quote from F.F. Bruce that Peterson brings up. It just really clarifies this whole shift. He says, it's a total change in who's calling the shots. No longer the law, but Christ as our Lord. But even more than that, it's this radical unity where his death to the old way of life becomes our death and his resurrection to new life, well, it becomes our new reality.
Our new life. It's a deeply personal, transformative connection, right?
Yeah, it really is. Galatians 2:20, man, that verse, it hits you right in the gut because it's about this fundamental change in who we are.
Who we are in Christ.
Yeah. Okay, so if we stick with Galatians for a minute, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, we see another really important piece of this union, being redeemed from the curse of the law.
Right. Paul saying that Christ took that curse upon himself on the cross, that idea of penal substitution, like he took the punishment we deserved.
And what's important for this whole in Christ thing is how that redemption, it opens the door for the blessing God promised Abraham to also reach the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Peterson thinks that the phrase in Christ Jesus here is probably saying it's through Christ's work that we get this blessing.
So it's not just that we're connected to Christ, but it's because of what he did that this blessing comes to us. And that blessing, what is it? It's the Holy Spirit, right? That promise of the Spirit, which, like we were just talking about, means Christ is living in believers.
Exactly. We receive the Spirit because we're in Christ, because he redeemed us. That indwelling of the Spirit is a key part of this whole union thing.
Now, in chapter 4 of Galatians, verses 4 through 6, Paul brings up this beautiful image of adoption as sons.
Adoption.
Peterson actually calls Paul the theologian of adoption.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
And you read this, you can totally see why.
Absolutely. Because of Christ's redemption, we're no longer slaves to sin, but we're adopted into God's family as sons and daughters. We become heirs with Christ. It's a total transformation of how we relate to God.
And the proof of that new adopted status is that God sends the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. And that's what leads us to cry out, Abba, Father.
That's a deep personal family connection.
It is.
And Peterson points out how Trinitarian this all is. It's God the Father sending his Son, Jesus, and then the Father sending the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. It's this beautiful illustration of how all three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're all involved in us becoming part of the family through being united with Christ.
Okay, so now let's go to Galatians 5, verses 22 through 24. Here we see how this being in Christ plays out in everyday life, how it affects the way we actually live. Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh.
And then, verse 24, we see that connection back to union. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So Paul's basically saying that being united with Christ means we've also crucified our sinful desires with him. Like, we're done with that old stuff.
Peterson even points us back to Galatians 6:1, where Paul says that the only thing he'll boast about is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the cross, the world has been crucified to him, and he's been crucified to the world. It's that same idea, you know, that we're fundamentally different because of the cross, how we relate to sin, how we relate to the world. It's changed.
Yeah, changed. And he brings up Richard Longnecker, who pointed out that the people who belong to Christ Jesus are the same group as those who are in Christ Jesus. Just another way to describe that deep connection.
It is. It is.
The main thing here is that because of Christ, those sinful urges, they're dead. They don't have any power over believers anymore. Of course, Peterson's quick to point out that we still mess up sometimes.
Right, we're human.
Yeah, it's like we forget who we are in Christ.
Right, we forget. Okay, so being identified with Christ in his crucifixion, it's not just some idea, right? It has a huge impact on how we live. It means we reject the idea that we have to earn God's favor by being super strict and following all the rules perfectly.
Legalism, yeah.
Yeah, legalism.
Yeah.
And we also reject the idea that we can just do whatever we want now. Like, there's no consequence. The cross, it deals with both of those extremes.
Right, right. Okay, let's switch gears to Ephesians now. We'll start with chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. Peterson says this whole opening section of Ephesians is, like, packed with the theme of union with Christ.
Oh, yeah, it's dense. And in these verses, we see that because we're in Christ, we've got redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of all the stuff we've done wrong.
Forgiveness, yeah.
That's like the bedrock of our relationship with God, and it all goes back to being in him.
Peterson talks about how in him is used figuratively here. It's called the locative sense. Like when you say someone is in the city, you know, it means they belong there. That's their sphere of existence.
They're in that sphere.
Yeah. So being in Christ means we now belong to Christ's realm. We've been transferred out of that old domain where we were spiritually bound.
New spiritual address.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then Paul takes this huge step back and starts talking about God's plan, the plan he set in motion in Christ to bring all things together in heaven and on earth under Christ. It's this massive cosmic perspective on what Jesus is doing.
Big picture stuff.
Yeah. And what Peterson points out is that this is one of the ways Paul uses in Christ to directly talk about that deep union. He mentions this guy, Constantine Campbell, who's like an expert on this in Christ language. And he says that while all the ways Paul uses it point to a relationship, some of them zero in on this like super profound organic union.
And there's this quote from O'Brien that Peterson brings up. It really captures this whole huge scope of what Paul's talking about. It says that Christ is the one God chose to bring the entire cosmos together in, to restore everything to harmony. He's not just a part of the plan. He is the plan.
He's it.
He is. Okay, so let's keep going in Ephesians 1. Verses 11 through 14, we see this idea of inheriting stuff and being sealed with the Holy Spirit. And all of it is tied to being in Christ.
Right. So in Christ, believers, we get an inheritance. We've been predestined, you know, according to God's plan. There's that locative thing, again, that sphere or realm where we get this inheritance.
The place, yeah.
And Christ, he's the one our hope is in, the one we put our faith in, we believed in him. everything centers on him.
It all comes back to Christ.
Oh, it does. And then there's this crucial doctrine of being sealed with the Holy Spirit. It's like a guarantee, that down payment on our inheritance that's within Christ's realm. Peterson pulls together some stuff from 2 Corinthians and other parts of Ephesians to show that God the Father, he's the one who seals us, we're the ones being sealed, and the Holy Spirit is the seal itself.
It's such a strong picture of security and ownership.
Yeah.
Like God's put his stamp on us, his mark, saying, this one's mine. This sealing is his promise, you know.
Yeah.
It's a commitment to us getting our full inheritance because we're in Christ.
Yeah. Our union with Christ, it's not some flimsy thing. It's solid, set in stone by God the Father through what Christ did, and then applied to us by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so last stop, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. This is a powerful one about being made alive together with Christ.
Yes. The contrast here is so huge, you know, going from spiritual death to being made alive with Christ because of God's amazing grace and love.
Grace and love.
Yeah. And in Christ Jesus, that phrase pops up again in a big way here.
It does. And it's not just that we're made alive, but we're raised up with Christ and seated with him in heaven in Christ Jesus. We actually participate in his resurrection, his ascension, him being seated at God's right hand. And Peterson makes this point. Every single blessing of salvation comes in Christ Jesus.
Everyone. There's this quote from O'Brien here that's just, it's really helpful. He says that our new life is literally us sharing in that new resurrected life that Christ himself got. Death is only truly overcome when we're united with him.
It's only through him.
Yeah. And then Paul just throws in this outburst almost, by grace you have been saved. It's like he's reminding us that this whole transformation, this coming alive, it's God's work, pure and simple. It's his undeserved favor to us. You know, we couldn't save ourselves.
Absolutely not.
And again, we see in Christ Jesus as the sphere where this happens, the place where we're seated with him in heaven. Thielman also makes a good point about the past tense of made alive with, raised up with, and seated with.
Mm-hmm.
It shows us that salvation isn't just some far-off hope. It's a reality for believers right now. Right now.
So in a very real way, we are joined to the risen, ascended, and seated Christ. We're in on his victory over evil. And Paul says it's all so that in the ages to come, God can show the immeasurable riches of his grace, his kindness to us in Christ Jesus.
Immeasurable riches. Wow.
Yeah. And then verse 10, it ties everything up beautifully. It says, believers are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. See how in Christ Jesus is used here. It means it's through Christ Jesus that this whole new creation, this new us, our purpose, it's all come about, starting with his resurrection.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into union with Christ in these letters from Paul, some really big ideas have come up, right? It's about that deep connection with Christ in his death and resurrection, being identified with him.
It is.
It's about being made right with God by faith in him, being rescued from the curse through him.
Yes.
It's about God adopting us as his sons and daughters through the spirit of his son. And it's about putting those sinful desires to death because we belong to him. And I think, you know, maybe the most important takeaway is that being in Christ, it's this huge, all-encompassing reality. It's all the spiritual blessings we have right now, plus our inheritance in the future, all within Christ's realm. And it all fits into God's massive cosmic plan to bring everything together in him.
So to you listening right now, just take a second and think about it.
Mm.
What part of this connection with Christ, this union, really stands out to you? How does understanding it change how you see yourself, you know, your purpose in the world?
And here's one more thing to think about. If our lives are really that closely tied to Christ, his death, our death to sin, his life, our new life, his victory, our victory, what does that mean for how we live, you know, day to day? How does it change how we interact with everything around us? Is there some part of your life where this union with Christ, well, maybe it requires you to make a bigger change than you thought?
Something to ponder. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
See you.